And now it's intermission time here in Severance Hall. And here with the intermission feature for this broadcast is Klaus George Roy, the publications director and program annotator for the Cleveland Orchestra. Klaus?
Thank you, Robert. It's grand to welcome back Leon Fleischer, whose performance of Ravel's Concerto for Piano Left Hand we've just heard. On one hand, to make a questionable pun, his absence of 5 years from these concerts has been much too long. But on the other, with his 13 appearances here since the mid-1940s in his many different works, he is such a close friend of the orchestra that the passage of time really means very little. The pleasure is always is ours. Leon, it's no news to our listeners, surely, that you had a kind of second career beginning when you won the Queen Elizabeth competition in Brussels in 1952, and that you've ever since been ranked as one of the leading pianists of our time. There were years when you were called something like the brilliant young American pianist, and then the young began to be left off. But I don't see that now, at the age of 41, you're not still young as famous performers go. Even so, the Washington Star said that you were, quote, perhaps the eldest statesman of the magnificent crop of young pianists now delighting discriminating concertgoers. How do you feel about all this dating game?
Klaus, I'm overwhelmed by your kind words. I think the only thing to quiet all these adjectives is I found the solution. I just grew a beard now. Let them take it from there.
Yes,
make it young, make it old. I think it's kind of silly in a way.
I had thought for a moment that we had mixed things up and that it was Shlomo you were going to play. You looked absolutely biblical when you came out. I'm most impressed.
That's very nice. Thank you.
Don't forget that even 17-year-olds are growing beards now, so I really don't think that this is a solution.
Well, let's see. I grew mine about 3 years ago after two abortive attempts. And, you know, it is as it is.
Well, this one has worked very well.
Thank you.
In short, you refuse to even take the question of age seriously. Is
right.
that correct?
Right.
I think it
answers itself.
There is, of course, such a thing as one's own feeling of maturity, of maturing. But when one has been active on the concert podium for so many years, I don't suppose even that has relevance anymore, does it? Do you feel that in the standard repertoire you still feel a sense of maturing as
well, in the sense that one is continually learning and becoming aware of new aspects, new relationships, new tensions, as it were, that exist in the music. Yes, one is constantly learning.
Although in recent years you have not been quite as active as before, your recordings have certainly remained as staples of the repertoire and as real standards against which to measure other recordings.
I think the Cleveland Orchestra, to a great extent, is responsible for that.
Well, the Cleveland Orchestra, as one review says, Papa Sell knows how to pick him, said a recent headline in New York. And I think the fact that Mr. Sell chose you to do all the 5 Beethoven concertos with the orchestra, which is a tremendous album. Unfortunately, the Epic records have now been deleted, so maybe this has become a collector's item. But
perhaps someday we might do them again.
Yeah, that's something to be devoutly wished, to misquote Shakespeare.
Mm-hmm.
There are also the 2 Brahms concertos that you've done, plus a whole series of others, a Mozart concerto, the wonderful Rachmaninoff.
Oh, it's the Paganini Rhapsody. That was the first orchestral recording that we did together, and it was
with the Franck Symphonic Variations,
right,
on the other side.
Right.
Many people think that's never been really surpassed.
Well, we were very happy. I remember I was quite hysterically nervous about that recording. It was the very first one that I'd ever done with orchestra, and I remember the A&R man at that time for Epic. I think his name was Bob Schick. Was at the session, and he was very, very calming influence by clapping me on the shoulder beforehand, saying, "Leon, don't forget, this is what, $2,500 an hour. Let's get it done."
Tell me, the Ravel concerto, Leon, has not been a piece that has been in your regular repertoire in previous decades. I understand there are reasons, somewhat other than musical, for you having chosen it. Would you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, well, about 4 years ago, I strained, maybe it's five now, I strained my right hand rather badly. And instead of letting it rest and recover fully, I started to play a little too early. And without realizing it, was favoring this injury and kind of disaligned the whole equilibrium of my hand. And that resulted in what is commonly known as a writer's cramp. But I've had to kind of relearn how to use my right hand at the piano. And I'm very happy to say it's beginning to come back again, and I have every hope and expectation within the future, if not the near future, to be using both hands again.
That's very good news, but in the meantime, the good news has been that you were sort of forced into learning the left hand repertoire, of which there is considerable amount.
Surprisingly enough. Even Brahms, you know, it's not all due to Wittgenstein, although the vast majority of compositions were commissioned by him for his own use. But there were works composed. It's a challenge that has been piquing the curiosity of many composers.
Yes, the nature of the challenge for writing for the left hand is something really very special. Many people don't realize how much can be accomplished with the left hand alone. And Paul Wittgenstein, for whom Ravel wrote this concerto, apparently believed that if you had to play with one hand, the left hand was the better one to use by itself.
Yeah, I think...
Why is that so?
Well, that the nature of the hand, the thumb, is apart from the rest of the hand and is somewhat more free to, let's say, tap out melody notes. And it also is proof of how important the harmonic fundament is, because that's what the rest of the hand is mostly involved in playing. The interesting thing that I've found out about the challenge of left-hand playing is that your center of gravity as you play is quite different playing with one hand than playing with two. I've found that playing with two hands, you sit squarely on the chair, but since when you play with one hand, and since you have to cover the entire keyboard with that one hand, my left buttock is the center of gravity, so that I can roll to both sides.
Wittgenstein feels that one basic reason is that the melody is generally on the top, so the thumb can play the tune and the rest of the hand do the accompaniment.
Yeah, well, it shows how important the accompaniment is in most music. I think it's a very pertinent point.
Well, we could talk for a long time about this, Leon. I'm sorry that our time is running out and we must stop. It's been a great pleasure to have had with us Leon Fleischer, a splendid pianist, equally splendid person, and a great friend of the Cleveland Orchestra.
Thank you.
Now
Klaus.
Back to Robert Conrad.